Thank you. Here we are again to bring to you some sweet nugget from the Word of God in our study of the book of Ephesians. And you remember we are dealing with this book, chapter 2, verses 13 to 18. We've been dealing with this yesterday, and I just trust that as we follow along in our study, it'll be made very, very precious to your heart. We're talking about the question of reconciliation in chapter 2 of Ephesians, of how God has reconciled both Jew and Gentile, made them one in Christ on the ground of what Jesus Christ did at the cross. That we Gentiles who were afar off were made nigh by the blood of Christ. And he made peace for us, and he preached peace unto us, and he is our peace. And as we said in our last lesson, the ground for this reconciliation is that work which Jesus Christ accomplished at the cross of Calvary. Every partition between verses 14 and 16, every partition has been broken down. All enmity is gone. And that which hemmed the Jew in and shut the Gentile out, every demand of that law has been met, and now there's no longer a barrier between. And God today is bringing into being, as I said and have been saying, he brought in a new man, made up entirely new of Jew and Gentile. Hence, peace has been made to both Jew and Gentile. Now, you find this in verses 14 down through verse 17. Suffice to say, as I read again, verses 17 and 18, and he came and preached peace to you which were afar off and to them that were nigh. For through him, that is through Jesus Christ, we both, Jew and Gentile, have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Do you ever stop to think of it? We who are afar off are no more strangers and foreigners. We have access into the presence of God. No longer, I say, afar off. No more strangers. No longer foreigners. But having peace with God. You see, in verse 13, sin must be met. And hence, we were made nigh through the sacrifice of Christ, he having met the demand of putting away sin. Now in verses 17 and 18, relationship, sonship must be established. If we are to come into the presence of God, Jew or Gentile, that's what you have in verses 17 and 18. Those of you who were afar off were Gentiles, those of you who were Jews were nigh, and through him, and only through him, on the same ground, we have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Here is a new relationship. Sonship must be established. If you say that God is your Father, my friend, then you must be declaring the fact that you are a child of God. You're declaring you've been born again from above. That you're no longer a child of wrath, which we read in the first three verses of the chapter, but we're now coming unto the Father. You remember that the Lord Jesus, after resurrection, could say to his disciples in John's Gospel, in chapter 20, I ascend to my Father and your Father, to my God and to your God. I repeat it. And by the way, I do not mind repeating these things because I believe that until we see this amazing fact, this wonderful truth, we'll not begin to appreciate our position in Christ. God is not patching up the old creation, whether Jew or Gentile. God is bringing into being an entirely new thing. And because of this, whether you're a Jew or a Gentile, you come into the same relationship, having the same privileges and the same inheritance in Christ. We have access unto the Father by the same Spirit of God. Hence, he could say in verse 19, now therefore, we are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints. I'll take it up in a few moments. What I'm after here is, in verse 18, to have access into the presence of God, sonship must be established. You know, I was talking to some friends just last night on this question. They asked the question about angels and cherubim and the children of God. I'd like to suggest to you that when you and I accept the Savior, we belong to a race of people, to a new family that is eternal, that is perfect, and that has full access to God. As far as I can read my Bible, I do not believe that angels can come and go in the presence of God as they desire. Angels are in the family of God by creation. They know nothing of redemption. They know nothing of the grace of God, like you and I do, because they've never sinned. They're holy angels who have always done his bidding. And yet the Christian has been brought into a closer relationship with God than even holy angels. You remember in the last verse of the book of Hebrews, the first chapter, angels are sent forth to minister unto us who shall be the heirs of salvation. Allow me, please, to repeat myself. I think not long ago I mentioned the fact in John's Gospel chapter 1. If you go from verses 10 down through verse 13, you remember, if I quote those verses to you, you'll remember them, where we read, "He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not." The world, Gentile world, did not know its creator. And then in verse 11, we have the Jewish people. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. The Gentiles rejected their creator. The Jews rejected their Messiah. Now, is God in a dilemma? Oh, no. Oh, no. What's he going to do then? The Gentiles have spurned him. The Jews have spurned him. What will God do? God will take individuals out of Jews and Gentiles and make them something entirely new. For we read, "To as many as receive Jesus Christ, to them he gives the right to become the children of God, even to them that believe on his name, who are born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, but who are born of God." In John chapter 3, Jesus said to Nicodemus, "Nicodemus, you're born wrong. You must be born from above. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creation." Galatians 6 says the same thing. Being a Jew or a Gentile doesn't mean anything, but a new creation. What I'm trying to get to you this morning is the fact that when you and I accept the Savior, he not only forgives us our sins, he not only pronounces us righteous, not only gives us eternal life — these are wonderful facts — but he brings us into a relationship with himself that's beyond the ken of men. And we have access — this is the thing I'm after — because of this relationship, we have access unto the Father. Is it not, I say, a wonderful thing that you and I as Christians can come into the presence of the Father at any time, under any circumstance? Oh, you say, "Well, that's all right for you preachers, or for those who are walking with God, but for me, I'm just a backslid, I'm a cold, indifferent Christian. I don't know much about it. And I'm so tied up with the things of the world, I don't know what to do with myself." Listen, in the book of Hebrews chapter 4, in the verse 16, I read these words: "Let us therefore come with boldness to the throne of grace, and there obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." You see, my friend, God is accessible to the man who will put his trust in Jesus. This is what you find in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. "He that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." God is more open to your reception than you are to receive him. God is more desirous of coming into your life than you are to have him come into your life. The trouble is not with God, my friend. The trouble is with you and me. And here the apostle says, whether you're a Jew or a Gentile, through Jesus Christ we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Think of it. You and I can come with all our frailty, our failures, whatever the problems may be, and can come at any time, under any circumstance, into the presence of God. I remember writing to a friend of mine, in fact, with one of my own family, many, many years ago, encouraging him to come to the Savior. He wrote me and he said, "You know, when I think of what I've done in my life, I'm afraid to come in the presence of God." My friend, do you realize that when Jesus Christ — this is what I wrote him — do you realize that when Jesus Christ died on the cross, he opened the way for man to come in the presence of God? He opened the way for sinners to come to God. He removed all the barriers between God and men. This is reconciliation. it is not that you are making peace with God, but God has made peace for you. And that if you will come in simple faith, trusting the Savior, you have access unto the Father. Notice what he says. He didn't say access unto God, though that's true, but access unto the Father. Here is a relationship that has been established by God for any man or any woman. I don't care who they are or where they are or what they've done. The way has been opened for you and me to come into the very presence of God. As Hebrews chapter 10 says, He is a new and living way which he hath consecrated, which he has set apart through the veil, that is to say, his flesh. In other words, he died to remove the barrier of sin between and make it possible for you and me to have access unto God. Is it not a wonderful thing, my friend, as I talk to you, that when I'm through this program, in a minute or so, you can get down in the very presence of God through faith in Jesus Christ and come where angels fear to come? In fact, they cannot come unless bidden to come. And you can come because you're in the family, because you belong to this new race. What a wonderful thing this is. Aren't you glad God isn't patching you up? He's making you new. And through Jesus Christ, whether Jew or Gentile, we have access unto the Father by one Spirit unto him. I say a new relationship has been established. And I plead with any of you who have never accepted the Savior to take him as your own personal Savior this morning. Become a member of the family of God. And those of you who have accepted the Savior, why don't you cash in on your rights and come today into the very presence of God with your Father and have fellowship with him. And may it be your joy today to have that fellowship. And the Lord bless you for his name's sake.